Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Label.
To secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Welcome to the Alan Nathan Show by Sucker Joe Show co-host Joe, hosting the Alan Nathan Show in Alan's honor today. And let us present to you, as he had done for 27 years, I think, yeah, 27 years, his mantra. Folks, we want the Republicans out of our bedrooms, the Democrats out of our wallets, and both out of our First and Second Amendment rights. Boy, we're about to get into that First Amendment in this segment. So the Alan Nathan Show comes to you courtesy of the Main Street Radio Network. We want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for aiding in this program's continued existence and their continued support, even in light of the passing of Alan Nathan. And you can show them some support. Go to mainstreetradionetwork.com. There's a contact page. Just browse around. Say hi to everyone. Give them some feedback. Listen to their podcasts. And the podcasts are up there as well for not just the Alan Nathan Show, but the Silker Joe Show, all on mainstreetradionetwork.com. You also have alannathan.com. Podcasts are available there, too, as well as columns and op-eds that Alan wrote during his lifetime. alannathan.com. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for their role in distributing this show. Now, you can find Main Street Radio Network and The Alan Nathan Show on social media, Facebook at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio, and X at Alan Nathan. And on the social media outlets, you would find the pre-written topics for the day. Alan would always read them at this point after introducing all that stuff. I got mine right here. Ex-ACLU president-turned-judge shreds the First Amendment by preventing a 13-year-old from being Christian. Is the ACLU too busy trying to put pornographic books back into the hands of children to fight this constitutional abomination? Also, after the backroom deal to save Congresswoman's, Corey Mills, Republican, and Susan Plaskett, Democrat, can we really expect the Epstein Files vote to be anything but meaningless? Now, as I promised, let's get to that first topic first. So what's going on here? What's this ex-ACLU president who's now a judge? What's he doing to obliterate the First Amendment? Actually, it is a 12-year-old at this point, but she'll be 13 in January, so I should probably adjust that just for the sake of accuracy. A 12.8-year-old, more or less. But what's going on in this case is... sorry, I'm just making the corrections here so I don't get that in the future. I had just heard about this, but it goes back to December of last year. This ex-ACLU president, who is now a judge, had this custody battle come before him. And in this custody case, the mother was taking the daughter to church. The father didn't like that. The father never had custody, though. The father was never married to the mother. The relationship ended when the child was born. Yet the father found a psycho-Marxist professor to bring in as an expert witness. The judge found the mother to be fit in every way, except that she is Christian and wanted to teach her daughter about Christianity, courtesy of this psycho-Marxist professors from California, mind you. This case is taking place in Maine, and the father, who didn't want the child, brings in this guy from California all the way across the country just to do this. Crazy, right? So the judge ruled... after that professor, but it's an ACLU judge, so what'd you expect, honestly? The judge ruled that the mother could not take the daughter to church, the daughter could not be a member of that church, the daughter could not associate with anyone from that church, the daughter could not even associate with someone who starts going to that church after she meets them, the daughter can't even visit someone in the hospital who is in any way associated with that church, the daughter can't attend any religious services at any church for occasions like Easter and Christmas, or even weddings and funerals, any church, not just the one in particular that the mother was going to, the daughter can't have any contact with any religious organizations, including food banks and the Salvation Army. The daughter can't read the Bible or any religious text or anything talking about religion. The mother can't read the Bible to the daughter. The judge even criticized the mother for letting a church pastor pray for her daughter. This is why I laugh at the ACLU commercials. You know, you've seen them coming on. Get TV has been running them lately during Monk in the 9 o'clock Eastern hour, where they're talking about, oh, we're here to fight the First Amendment. All these books are being banned. All these rights are being trampled. Give us money and we'll protect the Constitution. Yeah, I laugh at that and then cuss them out for the absolute lies and infamous falsehoods that they're telling. There's no way anything about that is true. Radical ACLU judges like this are why we need the Second Amendment when they try to take our kids from us for practicing the First Amendment. And this judge, he took an oath to defend the Constitution. The ACLU claims, I mean, you see in those dang commercials, to defend the Constitution. But look what they do. Then again, this is the same ACLU where we find their lawyers saying it would be ethical to assassinate Trump supporters to keep them from voting. And who knows how many ACLU lawyers out there got off after watching the murder of Charlie Kirk, the absolute assassination. How many of them wish they had thought of that? So where is this ACLU, though, right? They're the ones out there who say, oh, we stand for the First Amendment. Look at all these religious minorities we protected. Oh, we took the case of this Satanist over here. We took the case of this Muslim over here. Oh, where are they now, though? Now that a 12-year-old is literally being prevented from being a Christian. And what precipitated all of this was the child sent a letter to her father and said, hey, I'm happy that I got baptized. That's it. That's what started it. The daughter was consenting in this. She was happy to be part of that church. And then the father brought in this Marxist professor who said any church that believes in the Bible is a religious cult, which is all this ex-ACLU president needed to denounce all of Christianity. I mean, because like I said, it's not just that particular church. It's any church that does a Christmas or Easter service that child is prevented from being attending. How does he get off doing that? In the name of the First Amendment, too. You know, these are the same people as well that if you had a case against Sharia law, they would be on the side of Sharia law saying, oh, radical Islam is not a cult or anything like that. But here they are preventing a 12-year-old from attending Christmas services at any church that offers them. You see the hypocrisy here, the big disconnect from reality. And then the ACLU goes on to the commercials and says, oh, we're fighting book bans. We're fighting for the First Amendment. Really, you just pissed all over it. And one of your own did that. Where are you on this case? How come the ACLU isn't lobbying against this judge? How come they haven't denounced this judge who used to be their president of their organization? I don't know if it's at the chapter level or the local level. I couldn't find the guy's name. But this is all stemming from a press release by this group called Liberty Councils. And they covered this issue and that, and a lot of people are reprinting that, so and I guess they left the name out from that, but certainly have the name of the defendants in there, so it should be easy matter to look up during the commercial break, now that I've gotten to this point where I realize the name of the judge wasn't there. But then again, we saw what happened with Alex Jones, where if you happen to criticize someone wrongfully or correctly, but you present evidence supporting your claim nonetheless, if your followers come out, and you don't call for violence, mind you, and you don't call for harassment, but if your followers decide to do that, well, you'll be prosecuted, and guess what? The ACLU doesn't care about that either. Doesn't care about that little First Amendment violation, where if you say something and your supporters do something that you did not ask them to do, you are held liable for it. Oh, no, the ACLU doesn't believe in that, except unless it's a Democrat politician, perhaps, who called for violence, and then one of his supporters goes out and shoots Charlie Kirk. And then the ACLU would be all over supporting that Democrat. It's this hypocritical organization. Quite frankly, I think there should be some sort of FCC fine for any station that's airing their commercials, because it is blatantly false advertising. They're not protecting any kind of First Amendment rights here. I guess they are protecting the rights for people to turn your kids in, for pedophiles, which is what this latest commercial theirs that I've seen has been doing. So that's what the ACLU thinks the First Amendment is about. Really says a lot about their character, doesn't it? And I hope they're not receiving any taxpayer money. Good Lord. But they probably have been. Come on. You know how our government works. We send our tax. They've been sending our taxpayer money to all sorts of terrible things. And then rioting when the Trump administration comes into office and starts trying to stop all of that taxpayer money being misspent. I wonder even why the ACLU is out there running these ads right now. Or I guess maybe they're doing it because the Trump administration cut some of their funding via the taxpayers, which is good for us, but it means I have to put up with their bloody commercials. Anyway, they are not a good organization, though. Maybe at some point in their history, they did something that was worthwhile. But that's not the ACLU we have today. That's not the ACLU we've had for 10 years now. Probably more than that, because I can't remember. I think it was 2016 where that ACLU lawyer came out and said that it was okay to assassinate Trump supporters to prevent them from voting because of the harm that they would do to the country if they were allowed to vote. It's not for the ACLU to decide. The ACLU says that their thing is protecting the Constitution, which allows us the right to vote for whoever we care to that's a legitimate candidate on the ballots. So what does the ACLU really stand for if they don't want you voting, if they don't want you practicing your religion, if they want to give pornography to your children? What is it that the ACLU actually stands for? I don't think their founders would have been too happy about where they're at right now. I'm certainly not. Anyway, folks, we got more Alan Nathan Show coming up after this break, so stick with us.
Next year marks America's 250th birthday, and what better way to celebrate than an elevated train journey through the American Southwest? Canyon Spirit offers the adventure of a lifetime with scenic train journeys through rugged canyons and desert landscapes, along with gourmet dining and world-class service. Expansive panoramic windows allow guests to watch the magnificent scenery best seen by rail, including river canyons, red rocks, and more. Canyon Spirit travels between Salt Lake City and Denver with overnight stays in Moab, Utah, and Glenwood Springs, Colorado. And the train only travels during the day, allowing guests to enjoy the journey and relax overnight in charming small towns. TV host and travel expert Kelly Rizzo.
I think there's a certain romance to boarding a train, especially through the iconic vistas of the Southwest. Canyon Spirit offers a front row seat to these breathtaking wonders along with historic storytelling and regionally inspired gourmet dining. It's truly a wondrous experience.
To learn more, visit canyonspirit.com.
Butterball, the best known and most loved brand of turkey in the U.S., has partnered with renowned ChefCorp brand Headley and Bennett to create the first ever Thanksgiving hosting pans. Butterball turkey talk line expert Corey Gustavik shares more.
Roasting whole turkey isn't something most of us do every day. It can be intimidating and stressful, but the right clothes can make you feel more confident and comfortable in the kitchen. That's why Butterball created the first of their kind Thanksgiving hosting pants. Designed with a fun turkey print in Butterball blue, these pants are sure to give you swagger in the kitchen while keeping all your cooking essentials within arm's reach. With custom pockets for your meat thermometer and phone, loops for your utensils and towels, and a bottle opener to keep the party hydrated, these pants will help you get a leg up in your hosting duties this year. Butterball is giving away for free one final time while supplies last at noon Eastern this Monday, November 17th.
Learn more and claim your pair of hosting pants at ThanksgivingHostingPants.com.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve! It's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
back to the Al Nathan Show, our buddy Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, hosting the program today, waiting for our current guests. So, actually, this is a topic that he's going to be on about that been covering. Actually, we had someone on Monday talking about that. This poll that came out showing the rise of socialism. It's a Heartland Institute Rasmussen poll showing this rise in socialism amongst even conservatives, honestly, but nationwide, Democratic socialist candidates seem very popular with young likely voters. In fact, they seem a majority of them want Democratic socialists to win the White House in 2028. And this is assuming and presumably the 18 to 39 range as considered young likely voters. So I appreciate that being in the 18 to 39 range. I appreciate still being considered a young likely voter, no matter how old I feel at times. As the the weather's starting to manipulate my sinuses now. I'm starting to get that, old people have the rheumatism that predicts when the storms. Well, I got the sinuses that predicts the bad weather, the change in temperatures. But anyway, this poll by the Heartland Institute's Haskins Emerging Issues Center and Rasmussen reports reveals that 51% of young Americans who are likely to vote in the next presidential election would like to see a Democratic socialist in the Oval Office. Nearly 3 in 10 young Americans who voted for Trump in 2024 would prefer a Democratic socialist win the presidency in 2028. And then on top of all that, in the Democrat Party, it's much worse. NBC last month was talking about how socialism is acceptable to over half of Democrat voters. And then now the establishment that kowtowed to some of them are finding themselves threatened, like Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, who eventually endorsed the socialist candidate Mamdani as mayor of New York. For his troubles, he's about to get thrown out by one of Mamdani's friends, whose name I have no idea how to pronounce, Chiasi. Chiasi. I like the way that sounds, so I'm just going to say that that's his name. But joining us now to talk about all this, we have William Jasper. He is president of the John Birch Society, one of America's top investigative reporters. He is a senior editor at The New American, an author, journalist, commentator, and documentary producer. William Jasper, happy to have on the show. How are you today?
Thank you. Glad to be on with you. Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. So what do you make of this rise of socialism and how these leaders who seem to think, embracing it is the way to go, find themselves on the cutting floor because of it?
Well, I'm old enough to remember more than 50 years ago when I was in college, and I voted for and was an enthusiastic supporter of George McGovern, who was the national Mondami character of the day. And at the time, socialism was being promoted by all of the media, particularly the Scandinavian socialist model. And that was had really taken America by storm, particularly on the college campuses. And we're seeing that today as well. Fortunately, I was educated out of my ignorance, but we're dealing with a lot of low information voters, and it's really not their fault, the young people. They've been indoctrinated in our schools. And so one of the biggest supporters of Mamdani was the teachers union there in New York, the United Federation of Teachers. And that's part of the American Federation of Teachers, which is one of the two largest teachers unions in the country. And the other teacher union, the NEA, the National Education Association, likewise has supported every left-wing movement. They haven't signed on specifically to Mamdani, but a lot of their teachers have already been indoctrinated in all of that leftist agenda. So it's all DEI, ESG, DSA, which is the Democratic Socialists of America. Most Americans were not familiar with the DSA before the Mamdani campaign. We've been writing about them for over 30 years at The New American. So we've been exposing this. Unfortunately, most Americans are just now waking up to the fact that the DSA has already fielded and put in office over 250 socialist DSA members nationwide. And so these are people who've been elected to city councils, to mayorships, to county commissions, and to state legislature, as Mamdani was. He was a state legislator there in New York. So they are building a base, And most Americans have a fuzzy idea about what socialism is. They don't realize that they don't read the Communist Party's Daily World, for instance, or People's Weekly World, which I do, which we cover at the New American. If they did, they would know that Hanna Schwetz was elected from the Communist Party. She's also a member of the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, in Ithaca, New York, just up the state from Donnie. And this is where people need to realize they've forgotten, or the younger people have never been told about the realities of the communist revolution in Russia, in Bulgaria, Romania, in China, in every country around the world where the communists have triumphed. They've always done it hand in hand with the socialists of various stripes. We've got a couple dozen different socialist organizations and parties here in the United States, and about over a dozen who actually label themselves as communists, Marxists, Leninists, but they all unite behind people like Mamdani.
Hmm. And certainly, as you mentioned, the low information folks out there voting for it, it seems like maybe a failing of our education system that they think some of this stuff will work. Like, for example, how in New York City, a lot of what was driving it was his promises about free stuff, you know, tax the rich or whatever. That's been the socialist slogan for so long now in the U.S. That was one of the Bernie Sanders campaign talking points, pretty much. So you have that, but then what happens when the rich leave your city? They don't really think that through, because the rich are mobile. The Committee to Unleash Prosperity, we talked about this on the Al Nathan Show last week, they came out with this report over a 10-year period showing that New York City lost $500 billion because of all their policies driving the rich out. What happens when you don't have the rich anymore? You tax the people who are left. You tax the people who voted for the free stuff. And we're seeing that actually in Chicago right now, where some areas are getting 120% property tax increases because the businesses left the city. So who's left to pay for all the free stuff that they're getting? The people who thought they were getting free stuff.
Yeah, so it never works. It's really an attack on the middle class, and that's what you see right from the very beginning, 1848, with the Communist Manifesto, the attack on the bourgeoisie. So the bourgeoisie are the middle classes, and that is really the target. The rich can always escape those things. They have their tax-exempt foundations, and in fact, you probably saw there were several billionaires who ladled out quite a bit of money to the Mamdani super PACs. We had Liz Simons, for instance, who's the heiress of the $32 billion James Simons fortune, hedge fund fortune. She was one of the biggest contributors to it. And several others have also done that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we appreciate you being on the show, William Jasper, to talk about this. We have about 25 seconds left with, and let's just find more information about your work.
Sure. Well, they can go to us at jbs.org, for the gender society, jbs.org, or thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com.
All right, listeners, you can go check that out, and we have more Al and Nathan Show coming up after this break.
Hilton has once again been ranked number one on the world's best workplace list, according to Great Place to Work and Fortune. The hospitality leader has now topped the list twice in 3 years. At Hilton, its team members say the hospitality industry is where they can learn, grow, and achieve their career goals. Victoria, a sales director at a Homewood Suites property, explains.
Hospitality is the warmest industry that you can go into. The care, the nurturing, and the areas of opportunity are large. There are so many different elements in hospitality, and I don't think everyone thinks about the larger picture that they could fit into. Hilton has always been just a welcoming, open-armed, flexible place to work. I'm going to look forward in enjoying more stable work days and the ability to just have that work-life balance that I truly want.
To learn more about what makes Hilton a great place to work, visit stories.hilton.com/world's best workplace.
Small businesses face constant security challenges, from protecting property to keeping employees and customers safe. Simply Safe is stepping in with a new suite of professional-grade security solutions designed specifically for business owners. TV host and entrepreneur Chip Wade has more.
As a business owner, I travel a lot for work. And it's reassuring to have a system that not only lets me monitor my businesses no matter where I am, but it's protected by trained agents who will intervene if there's trouble. It's about knowing my offices and workshops are protected even when I can't be there.
Simply Safe Business Security offers customizable plans backed by 24/7 monitoring. Key features include AI-powered cameras, live agents who can help prevent crimes and call for help in an emergency, multi-camera live streaming, customized user access, and elevated customer support.
Simply Safe aims to give business owners just like me peace of mind so they can focus on growing their businesses, all without long-term contracts or cancellation penalties.
To learn more, visit simplysafe.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, don't tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show by Silker Joe Show co-host Joe, hosting the program today. So going back to that opening segment, I mentioned there were some questions about the people involved here. For one thing, the ACLU, not taxpayer-funded, at least that we know of, not according to Google AI anyway, nor any articles I could locate. But that doesn't mean they aren't receiving taxpayer money anyway, and they are broken into two arms. They do have tax-exempt status, like I wondered. At least one of their arms does, because there's the ACLU, then there's the ACLU Foundation, the foundation is tax exempt or whatever. I think both are tax exempt, actually, but the ACLU Foundation is the one where your donations are tax deductible, whereas regular ACLU, your donations are not tax deductible. So in a way, if it's tax deductible, it kind of is taxpayer funded because you're getting your money back for donating, and who's giving you that money back? The taxpayer. Anyway, though, they also brag that they're filing over 100 lawsuits against Trump, yet they have no problem with this at all. And none of the articles I found could actually name the judge. And you'd think looking up ACLU former president who became a judge in Maine would narrow the playing field, but there's at least two possibilities. One who died shortly before this ruling would have taken effect, so like he could have implemented it and then passed away right after the case left his bench, so really no telling who did it. But we do know who that psycho professor from California is, Dr. Janja Lalich. That's the one who thinks that all Christians who believe in the Bible are just cult members, because, you know, 2,000-year-old religion is totally a cult, right? According to the Democrats, they is. According to this Dr. Janja Lalich, it is. So that's what happens when you get junk experts into your trials. You lose your rights. Anyway, though, another matter I want to get into for this segment, though, and that's the other topic I mentioned in the opening segment, how after the backroom deal to save Congressman Corey Mills and Congresswoman Susan Plaskett, can we really expect the Epstein Files vote to be anything but meaningless? So here's what happened, and this is coming from Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna and Congressman Tim Burchett. They described how there was this vote yesterday on Congresswoman Susan Plaskett, Democrat from the Virgin Islands. She doesn't actually do anything but sit there because Virgin Islands aren't a voting, you know, their congresspeople don't get votes. They're like the D.C. congresswoman. They don't, Eleanor Holmes, Norton or Norton Holmes or whatever. I think she passed away, though, so I think they're getting a new one. But just like the congressperson from D.C., the congressperson from the U.S. Virgin Islands doesn't actually do anything except sit there and maybe try to get someone else to talk on their behalf. So Susan Plaskett, she's sitting there. This is 2019. She's sitting there talking to Trump's attorney, Michael Cohen. And while she's doing it, she's on her phone receiving text messages from Jeffrey Epstein himself, directing her about what to do, what to ask, and all of that. So she is being coached by him. Now, Democrats are denying it, but you can match up frame by frame on the C-SPAN video versus the text messages that we have and what times they were sent. You could see her checking them out as they're coming in. It's impossible to deny that that's what she's doing without losing credibility. But Jamie Raskin, of course, Democrat from Maryland, has no credibility to begin with. He's the guy who said that the Democrats would deliberately start a civil war if Trump won the presidency in 2024, but Democrats somehow still maintain the House of Representatives. Raskin was like, yeah, we'll start a civil war. We don't give a fudge. We're going to do it. You're going to die. We won't because we're protected. Screw you. That's more or less what he said, the gist of it. He said it in a slightly nicer manner, but that was what he was saying. He actually did say that they would vote to nullify the election, that would start a civil war, Congress people would be protected, but the American people would not be. That was what he said, and the rest was derived from his very dismissive tone about the fates of those under him who would die at his command. So Jamie Raskin there was trying to cover for Susan Plaskett, saying she was talking to a constituent, but clearly not. We have the text messages. How he can make such a stupid statement after we have text messages with dates and timestamps and all that is testament to Democrat stupidity. But it probably worked with their voters because what are they going to do? Research it themselves? Oh, please. They jump when their leaders tell them to. Anyway, So that's what Susan Plaskett was doing. That's what there was this vote to censure her for doing that because Epstein at the time, you know, a lot was known about him at the time that was going on, and it was very close to him being busted. And he already had been a convicted sex offender long ago. So, yeah, this was definitely wrong of her at that point in time to do. She should have known better, politically anyway. But apparently Epstein, I believe, had some sort of controlling interest with the Virgin Islands or something like that, to where he had the financial power to pull the strings on their congresswoman like that. I mean, talk about, you know, we were talking in the last segment, all these socialists tax the rich and all that. But look at their champion. I remember Susan Plaskett looking at her and how fire she brought to the Congress floor. And I was thinking, oh, she's trying to go places in the Democrat Party. She's trying to make make a name for herself, you know, just like all these other young firebrands. But then Epstein was her bankroller at some point, it looks like. Well, not bankroller, but definitely pulled some strings with her. So young socialists, I guess they don't really care who pulls the strings of their leaders. Which billionaire psycho pulls the strings of their representatives? As long as one billionaire psycho pulls the string of the representatives, I guess. So much for socialism. But anyway, this comes to Corey Mills, though, in this way. The vote to censure Plaskett for being a puppet of Epstein was some Republicans sided with Democrats. Every Democrat voted to have her, to not let her be censured, and a couple of Republicans sided with them, which allowed the vote to fail. And the reason why these Republicans defected was to protect one of their own, Congressman Corey Mills. What he has is he threatened to release certain explicit pictures of an ex of his. And, you know, I'm not going to say the exact phrase for what this is called, but he would do it in revenge. It was sort of a blackmail. He said, I will release these pictures of you if you don't do this, that, or the other thing, or just to spite you or whatever. Point is, we have these abusive messages from him. And so Republicans figured, well, we can get this guy off the hook of an ethics investigation for going crazy like this if we also protect Susan Plaskett. And that was the deal that was made, again, according to Congresswoman Anna Paulina Luna and Congressman Tim Burchett. This was the backroom deal made. We don't go after Plaskett. You don't go after Mills. And Plaskett gets protected. But here's the thing. What's to stop them from going after Mills now? Nothing. Next time Democrats get the majority, this time next year plus 2 months, when Democrats fully take control of the House, they might go after Mills anyway. Launch this ethics investigation. Launch ethics investigations against the Republicans who voted to not censure Plaskett, who cooperated with this scheme. There's nothing stopping them. They have no reason to hold their word. This is why we argue for getting rid of the filibuster, because Democrats are going to get rid of it. We've seen how they operate when Biden first came into office. You know, that first 2 years where Democrats had the majority in the House and the Senate, even though the majority was by like one or two people, they routinely got their stuff passed. Sometimes bipartisan, because one or two corrupt Republicans sided with them. Sometimes because they had they bypassed the filibuster. Sometimes because they had Kamala Harris as vice president exercise her role to break the tie in the votes. So Democrats are perfectly willing to ignore filibusters when they are in power, yet Republicans are telling us to expect them to have mercy like Republicans are having towards Democrats. BS. It's all backroom dealing that you, the citizen, gets nothing out of. And we're seeing this now. I mean, like, are we supposed to say that this was a fair trade, protecting Plaskett for the sake of protecting Corey Mills? Absolutely not. Get them both out. Are you kidding? Kick them both out of Congress. I don't want either of them. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. Get them both out. They're both losers and weirdos and associated with, well, Plaskett is associated with a weirdo. Corey Mills is a weirdo from what he did. So, I mean, first of all, he has these pictures that he can do as for blackmail like this anyway. That's kind of odd. Was he Bob Crane? But also the fact that he wants to use them as blackmail is also sickening. We don't want that in Congress. That's not the kind of corruption we want. We don't want any corruption. I don't know why I said it that way. But yet Republicans are trying to protect it. And this is why Trump has had such an uphill battle getting anything done, not just this term, but in his previous term. He's the one who isn't corrupt. They're trying to fight him. Or maybe he's corrupt in his own way that's incompatible with the Republicans in Congress. And so they're willing to side with the Democrats. They're willing to protect their own sexual abuser. They're willing to do anything to keep it. They're willing to protect an Epstein acolyte. They don't care. And that leads to the question. Can we really expect the Epstein Files vote to be anything but meaningless? Republicans are willing to do this to protect themselves. They're willing to side with Democrats like this. Yet both voted unanimously to release the Epstein files? What's in that vote? What poison pill is in that legislation that we haven't seen? It's a strong question. Why would they just make this backroom deal to protect their own and protect an Epstein acolyte, and now we're expecting these Epstein files to be damaging against either side? Come on, that's stupid. There's definitely either it's something in the legislation or something in the files that makes this entirely nonsense and worthless. So I guess we'll see when the files are released or when the poison pill in the bill comes to pass. Either way, don't get your hopes up, folks. More Al Nathan Show coming up after this break, and that's something you can't get your hopes up for.
Would you know where to turn if you or loved one suddenly became paralyzed? Paralysis isn't something you plan for, but the National Paralysis Resource Center has served as a vital lifeline for thousands of families. But federal funding for the program is at risk. Marine veteran Sherman Gillums Jr., Senior Director of Public Policy at the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation, says the consequences could be devastating.
This is about more than just a budget line. It's about veterans, caregivers, and families, real people who need these resources to live more productive and independent lives.
Gillums, who lives with paralysis himself, says cutting this funding would remove critical resources like peer mentoring, help with housing, and job placement guidance.
When you take away these lifelines, people must figure out how to rebuild their lives on their own. And that's not something any family should have to do.
Learn about the importance of funding for the National Paralysis Resource Center at ChristopherReeve.org.
On Sunday, November 2nd, Americans will fall back to standard time, despite growing concerns over the health and safety risks of seasonal time changes. According to sleep experts, making standard time permanent could improve the lives of millions, and the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time and its partner, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine, are working to make that a reality. Dr. Karen Johnson, sleep medicine physician and co-chair of the Coalition for Permanent Standard Time.
When our schedules align with the timing of natural light, people benefit from brighter mornings, safer commutes to work and school, and improved sleep at night.
Want to lessen the effects of the time change? Try these tips. Get at least 7 hours of sleep per night before and after the change. Adjust the timing of daily routines like meals and exercise, and head out for early morning sunlight during the week after the time change. For more information about ending daylight saving time and to find additional resources about sleep disorders, treatments, and sleep health, visit sleepeducation.org, sponsored by the American Academy of Sleep Medicine.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart and don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. For help keeping yours at a healthy range, text PRESSURE to 97779. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment. This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Al Nathan Show. Everybody, Silker Joe Show co-host Joe hosting the program today. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. We are joined for this last segment by Michael Letts. He is CEO and founder of Invest USA, a national grassroots nonprofit for providing police with bulletproof vests that has aided agencies internationally. Michael has earned the Congressional Gold Medal Award for community service and has over 30 years of experience in law enforcement. He is currently chaplain with several agencies as well as the state constable for the state of South Carolina. Michael Letts, always happy to talk with you. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Joe. It's always a privilege to be with you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yep, glad to have you. So in Washington, D.C. right now, they've got this new crime crackdown bill that repeals no cash bail and repeals the removal of no chokeholds, among other police reform. What's going on with this?
Well, something's desperately needed. You know, I mean, we don't need bureaucrats telling us how to do our job about taking down, obviously. We're all familiar with the tactics that are necessary. Bottom line is this, Joseph. If I'm confronting a known assailant and he's determined to resist to the point where it's either him go home or me, I should have the ability to do whatever is necessary to protect both myself and the community and bring him into custody or eliminate the threat, one of the two. And when it comes to the cash bail, we know that's necessary across the country. We've got these progressive liberals that are all across the country now trying to implement their planned strategy to destroy America. And that's one of their key aspects. Get the criminals back out on the street before the cops can even get back to their cruiser after they arrest them and book them. That's got to end. Now, we've been hoping that that would end by jurisdiction, but it appears that there are so many crazed activists throughout the country in different locations that we need national legislation to ban it permanently, and that's what we're attempting to get done. Of course, the Democrats are going to throw a fit, and we expect that, but that's just part of how the system works, Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's interesting seeing this coming up in D.C., though, of all places, because they've been fairly left-wing in their policies to the point where they were doctoring crime statistics just to make the city seem safe. You know, they'll report a shooting as just a dead body found somewhere, or taking someone to the hospital, or some crazy stuff like that.
Well, you know, Joseph, part of that issue is, quite frankly, is D.C. got to experience firsthand the failed policies of, you know, city council and some of these national issues. And then when Trump came in and brought in the National Guard and basically transformed it overnight 180 degrees, they got to experience, you know, the people being grateful for finally being able to walk the streets at night and go to a restaurant and feel like they're safe. And they don't want to revert it back to the old ways, so it doesn't surprise me that there are some more logical heads trying to make sure that that stays in place. But trust me, the old guard in terms of wanting to try to progressively rehabilitate criminals with the failed policies at our expense, at the safety expense of the American citizen, they're still there. They're going to fight this tooth and nail.
Now, on this no cash bail stuff, you know, I've seen commercials on one of the local TV stations around here in the Hampton Roads area of Virginia, and they're talking about how, it only means that the rich people can escape prison or whatever, because all the poor people, they can't afford the bail. But, you know, the bail isn't arranged based on just discrimination. The bail is based on your threat level and what it would cost to make you less of a threat.
So you are exactly right. Let's be very clear so that our listeners understand. Here's how the bail system works. We look at the crime you're accused of committing. Now, remember, you're innocent until proven guilty. But you've been arrested because there's enough evidence. And you remember, I can't just arrest you because I don't like the way you look, Joseph. There has to be enough probable cause that I have to be able to show to a judge to get a judge to agree there's enough evidence that you should be tried by a jury of your peers to determine whether you are guilty of this evidence or whether you're innocent. So once that occurs and then they issue an indictment and an arrest warrant, then there is a listing from the judge. Each crime is determined by the amount of risk and number of factors. First of all, your risk factor. Are you considered a flight risk? Are you stable in the community where we expect you to show up for court? And that, all that is factored and formulated in as to what the bond should be. And then that bond is issued. Now, I will agree with this statement. If you're poor, you probably can't afford the bond. But you should be thinking about that before you go out and decide to commit the crime. Because quite frankly, you know, it's not the American citizen's responsibility to make sure that you get back on the street because you can't afford to get out. It's the American judge's responsibility to make sure we protect the American citizen. And that's what the whole bond system is all about.
Yeah, we see over and over how, you know, someone brought in for abuse or something, or assaulting someone or stalking or whatever, they come right out and they commit a crime again against the same person. It's like, how are even people supposed to feel safe to report a crime if the criminal is just going to be put right back out, no bond?
Well, I love what you said, Joseph. You have to see the underlying tones here. That's their purpose, is they want to be more concerned about criminals than they are about victims. They don't want you to report the crime. They want you to take the abuse. They want criminals to feel like they can continue to victimize the American citizen. And that's what the American people are saying. No, we're not going to do that anymore. We've allowed you to experiment with this. It's been an abject failure. Crime has skyrocketed. We've had enough of being terrorized in our own country, and we're taking it back. And enough is enough. And this is one of the tools that you use to terrorize us, and we're going to take it away from you.
And you got to wonder how much of this is malicious ideology and a hatred of law-abiding citizens and a love of criminals, and how much of this is just, you know, my job is way easier if people don't report crimes. Some of them just do everything I can to discourage them from it, and now I get to say my city is safe at minimum effort.
Well, you know, I mean, I wish what you said wasn't true, but let's be very factual here, Joseph. You have a lot of prosecutors that say, look, I get paid the same amount whether I try one case or 50 cases. So it's much easier for me to try the one instead of the 50. Let's make sure we support ideology, policy, et cetera, that gets me the least amount of work I have to do as possible, because I'm not getting paid anymore to do any more work. And that's why we have such liberal prosecutors that are oftentimes backed by people like Soros and others to get into office. And it's an easy way for them to make a good salary and do a little bit of work.
Yeah, it almost makes you wonder, do they even believe in the ideology, or is it just an excuse to not work? Anyone's willing to accept an excuse to not work, even if they don't believe it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That's human nature. Unfortunately, nobody wants to do any more work than they have to. But we've lost the work ethic. We've lost pride in ownership. And so if I can do as little as possible and get paid the same, that's what I'm going to do.
Well, Michael, let's appreciate you being on the show to talk about this real quick. We're going to also find out about InvestUSA.
They go to investusa.org. They can stay involved, make donations, and help our first responders. God bless you. God bless America, Joseph. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Glad to have you. God bless you. God bless America, too. And what a great way to end the program. And listeners, you can check out our websites, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com and AlanNathan.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.